Welcome to Sports Day Cowboys, a podcast all about the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News. I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We're two Cowboys beat writers having a weekly real talk conversation about the latest with the team, including interviews, analysis, and debate. The Cowboys are 6-2 on their bye week. Let's go big picture this episode.
Let's do it. What are the two areas that have impressed us through eight games and two areas that have disappointed? We each choose one.
And Tony Pollard sure looked impressive last Sunday when Ezekiel Elliott was sidelined with the knee injury. Some people want to see, really a lot of people, more of Pollard, less of Zeke. The Cowboys do not. In this week's guest segment, running backs coach Skip Pete explains to Calvin why. And it's very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. It all starts now on Sports Day Cowboys. Dallas is on the bye week. Thank goodness. Now, Michael, now that we're at the break, what was the one thing that impressed you in the first half of the season? And before you go, there's a lot to talk about, positive and negatively, but each of us are going to go one by one here. So, Michael, you go first about what impressed you.
Yeah, I think of what truly, where was my head going into the season or even the off season, and then where is it today during this bye? And I think this is a great chance to highlight how far the Cowboys have come at their tight end position. You think back to March, the Cowboys had Dalton Schultz, franchise tagged. They had said goodbye to Blake Jarwin because of a real devastating hip injury that threatened his career. He's yet to sign with the team as he continues to work through that rehab. And they really didn't have a whole lot. Sean McEwen, someone who spent portion of last season, kind of in and out, dealt with injuries, was on the practice squad at the beginning of the year. But they really just have developed with Jake Ferguson, with Peyton Hendershot, who's undrafted, two young guys. And now you look up and just focus on these past two games, these final two going into the bye week. The Cowboys had four tight ends active both those games. They scored seven touchdowns, three in week seven against the Lions, and four touchdowns this most recent game against the Bears. Seven touchdowns with three tight ends on the field. And that is wild. I'm going to take a little break here. The Cowboys have scored nine touchdowns this season with three tight ends on the field. No one else in the NFL has more than four such touchdowns. There are eight teams who haven't scored a touchdown all season with three tight ends on the field at the same time. Cowboys have done it nine times. And you look at Sean McEwen, he was one of four Cowboys tight ends to play 14 or more offensive snaps against the Bears in that 49-29 win last Sunday. And so that doesn't even include what they've gotten from them on special teams. And so when I look at Cowboys tight end as deep as they are, and Dalton Schultz hasn't been his best self physically. He suffered a PCL sprain in week two and hasn't been himself. But now with the bye week, he does get a chance to become more like himself. And so, the bye week is a great time for guys to get recovered. And so when you factor in the youth and experience he's gotten, plus Dalton Schultz getting right physically, not only has this group been so important and impressive so far, especially with some of the weakness at wide receiver, but stands to become even better down the stretch with increased experience in Dalton Schultz's health. How about you? What was the one thing that's been above expectation for you?
When they lost Dak Prescott to a fractured thumb in the opener against Tampa, I thought they were done. Like, they're not going to win a game, in the time that Prescott was going to be absent. So Cooper Rush, to me, was the most impressive thing. He kept this thing together. He went 4-1 as a starter with Prescott out. And the Cowboys had to change how they do things. They became more of a run first team, and that's fine. And Cooper made the right plays. He didn't try to force things down the field. If you're open, I'm going to get it to you. He was a calm presence, something that they needed. I think the fact that he's been around for a little bit also helped because he knows that offense from Kellen Moore. He's got some chemistry with those receivers, especially Noah Brown, a guy who's been a backup his entire career with the Cowboys. So as you like to say, time on task. And he got a lot of that, Michael, with Noah Brown. So to me, you know, Cooper Rush was the surprise of everything. Because if you remember, when we were in training camp in Oxnard, Will Greer was really moving along pretty good as the backup quarterback. And we thought he was going to surpass Cooper Rush. But you got to play these games. You got to play the practices. And Will Greer injured his groin, and Cooper Rush kept going. And then he won the starting job, excuse me, the backup job, you know. And good for him, because the Cowboys needed him. Even though I think Will Greer is a better quarterback than Cooper Rush, but just based on what went down in that opener against Tampa, Cooper Rush was the best thing for the Cowboys. Now, let's go over one thing that we didn't like in the first half of the season. What didn't you like?
I'm remembering the questions that were there at wide receiver in training camp entering the season, and that's not lost on me. And so when I say this area has disappointed, I you know, we knew all along it wasn't going to be last year's group with Amari Cooper, with Cedric Wilson, you know, and so forth. But even still, I think the wide receiver group has not quite hit the mark. I would be surprised in week one if you were to tell me that at the Cowboys' bye, the team hasn't found a way for Kevontae Turpin to have his first NFL reception. Even though he was a guy who arrived in training camp, I still thought his speed was enough where they would get it involved some way. Jalen Tolbert has one NFL reception here at the bye week. I would have thought he would have had more than a four-yard gain being targeted twice in a game against the Bears. You were to tell me that Cowboys have four wide receivers active, Jalen Tolbert is your third guy in 11 personnel, I would have thought that maybe they would feel comfortable enough to throw the ball at him once. Just once. Forget catch the ball. Just throw at him. They didn't. And so I think that area, which to me underscores the importance of the tight end position and how important it's been that they've been able to get the production that they have from the guys that they've gotten it from. But thus far, wide receiver, it seems like that's not where it needs to be. And that's not – notice I haven't mentioned anything about CeeDee Lamb because I think
– Why haven't overall, you?
I think overall that's been right at expectation. But you know, and Michael Gallup, I think he gets something of a pass here because he's coming back from a major injury. He missed all the spring with the ACL. He missed all of training camp. He missed the preseason. So he's working back into the offense. The Cowboys are working him back into the offense in terms of finding ways to get him involved. But I just think overall, the totality of the position to me has fallen short.
For me, the biggest thing was the lack of a splash trade. The Eagles made a splash trade for safety. In the offseason, they made another splash trade in getting A.J. Brown. They had a fantastic draft. San Francisco made a splash trade with Carolina, getting the running back, Christian McCaffrey. So if you're going to go for it, you better go for it, bro. You know, Jerry Jones was on the radio this week talking about I'm 80 years old, and my schedule is now. You know, I ain't got time for cruising. I got to go. I got to get it done. So if you got to get it done, you got to make a move. And getting in Jonathan Hankins at defensive tackle was nice, but he gave up over 200 rushing yards in his first game. But that's not all his fault. It's, you know, I'm just saying. I'm no expert, but I'm just saying, you know, we're not experts here, Michael.
I thought we were. Okay,
keep going. No, we're not. No. Well, maybe we are.
If we aren't, then who is, man?
Who is, right. But, you know, they didn't make a splash trade. You know, they were trying to get a receiver, and you eloquently talked about all the receivers. You know, Gallup didn't have a catch 2 weeks ago, and he had a drop in that game, and he didn't get any targets in the second half. And they just paid this man, you know. But, you know, hey, I'm no expert. And, you know, they had talks with Houston about Brandon Cooks. They couldn't get it done. Brandon's got $18 million guaranteed salary for the 2023 season, so they couldn't really work out how much do you take, how much do I take, and all that kind of jazz. So I give him A for effort there, but you got to get it done, man. And the Eagles are undefeated, undisputed in the NFL. I don't know if they're the best team in the league. The record says they are. Personally, I think Buffalo is the best team in the league, but what do I know? But if you say you want to win the championship, and as Jerry Jones said, it's a time of urgency, you needed to make a splash trade, and the Cowboys did not do that.
They did not. Would you feel different at the trade deadline if the Hankins move was made on Tuesday as opposed to last week?
Maybe. That's a good question. Maybe, because then I would say, okay, they're going to try to, you know, solve their run defensive issues, you know. But they signed him before the Bears game, and you would thought Gale Sayers was running around out there, you know.
Well, speaking of running backs, Zeke Elliott has been the bell cow around here for a very long time. Tony Pollard, though, he looked good against the Bears, and he tends to look good when he gets opportunities. Why don't we see more of Tony Pollard? Running backs coach Skip Pete joins us next.
One of the great things about Sports Day Cowboys is the ability that Michael and I have to interview the people who matter, whether it's a player, a coach, an agent, a former player, the real experts. And this week I had a good chance to talk with Skip Pete, the Cowboys running backs coach. This was the week, the bye week, where the assistant coaches are available to the media. So Skip Pete, who's making his second tenure with the Cowboys as a running backs coach, talked to the media, and he had some interesting things to say about the backup running back, Tony Pollard. Here's Skip Pete with me and the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Shand. Tony Pollard, we always talk about heavy workload, but it seems as if his workload is at 12 to 14, and he can be very effective. Can he do more than that from what you've seen?
Well, he had 12 or 14 carries, but he played a total of 30 plays. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably his max as far as total play count, because then the juice doesn't become the same, and then, you know, he's not as quick, he's not as fast. No, it's funny, though, because you said that, because, I mean, when he had that long run on that third and one, as soon as he got to the sideline, he said, "Coach, I'm done. Done for the game. Done. I got no more." But, no, I mean, Tony's obviously a very talented runner. Good all-around back. I mean, can play every down. It's just like, I mean, some guys are race cars. Some guys are high-quality, high-expensive sedans. Those sedans can go forever and for a long distance at a very high rate, where race cars go very fast and quick, and then they run out of gas. But, I mean, I don't know. I've always just felt that at that position, you got to always have two guys that are quality backs that can help each other, bounce off each other. And it helps if the running styles are a little bit different. The contrast, I think, presents a little bit different effect to the defense. Learned that a long time ago. Somebody told me this a long time ago, and reason being, he said, "Listen, you got to have a fresh back in the game at all times." I said, "Well, if the guy's a bell cow, well," he goes, "no, I'm just telling you, you need to have a fresh back in the game all the time." I said, "Okay." And he goes, "It'll work, because you have different styles, and you have guys that are both are starters, but, I mean, they share the workload, and at the end of the day, you have a fresh back from play one to play whatever you have." And I learned that from my former boss, Al Davis, and that's what the Raiders have always done. If you go back to Mark Van Egan and Clarence Davis to Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen, and they always had two guys. And, I mean, ever since I've been here, first time even, I always had two guys. I mean, going back to
Felix
and I had Julius Jones and Marion Barber, and then Felix and Marion, then Felix and DeMarco, you know, and probably two places where I didn't really utilize that strategy, because probably the second guy wasn't as talented, or maybe wasn't as deserving at the time to be a guy that truly split time, was when I had Todd Gurley in L.A. and then Matt Forte in Chicago. But other than that, I mean, the whole time I was in Oakland, I was always utilizing two guys, whether it was Tyrone Wheatley and Napoleon Kaufman, Tyrone Wheatley and Charlie Garner. So, I mean, it's always been that way. And then here, obviously, the guys I've always had here. I just think it puts a little bit different contrast on. The one thing that a couple defensive guys have told me is that with the contrasting styles, you run the same play, and they get used to stepping up, coming to make a hit on Zeke. So he runs the same inside zone or same outside zone, gets to the second level. They take an angle to make the tackle. Then Tony comes in running the same play, but they react naturally, body reacts to the play. They set the angle, and then the angle is messed up due to the fact that he's faster. So then all of a sudden he's by them, and now they're turning and running to catch him instead of facing up to make the tackle. So it puts a little bit more stress on him.
So what is it about the nature, the makeup of running backs that the conventional wisdom, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any.
True.
But two running backs, you have two. Why is that?
Better than one. Stronger. It's fresher for the entire duration of a game. I'm being completely honest. I am very lucky to have these two cats. And I think that one thing that that helps is that they both respect each other. They both understand that they both have qualities. One guy is truly a hammer, 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 hammer. And I told him that. I said, dude, you know, when I think of you running over somebody, not breaking people down and running away. I mean, my vision is a very physical downhill runner. And that's what he is. I mean, be who you are. And, you know, Tony is more a slasher. I mean, he's in that realm of Felix, Napoleon Kaufman, Charlie Garner, where, I mean, they're going to be quicker, they're faster, they're going to always have a bigger average, they're going to make more explosive plays. But at the end of the day, I think when you get in certain games, the race car can't handle that constant punishment, because they get wore down, because they're not as physically strong and as big and as powerful as some of those other guys. But I think you need both. You know, I mean, we're fortunate we got two very talented guys.
How do you balance a young guy when he makes a mistake to be that father figure in comparison to, I got to slap you upside the head because you should know better?
You know what? On game day, really, like I tell them every week, I said, we're gonna work hard. I'm going to be harder on you during the week. I mean, obviously, during practices, we got to get the game plan down. We got to understand and anticipate what they're going to do. We're going to give you the looks that they present. And then game day, it's their day. I don't yell on game day. I mean, all I do is help and correct, you know, and make adjustments. You know, hey, you tried this. This didn't work. So next time, if they present us this look, we run this play, you got to be ready to do that. But it's not any yelling. I mean, even if they fumble, hey, they know they fumbled. So, I mean, why do I need to yell at them? I mean, I remember high school and college and all that, I'd go ballistic. But, I mean, these guys are grown men. They understand when they make a mistake. They're more mad at themselves than me getting on them.
Right.
You know, I mean, they mad they made a mistake because they take pride. I think we have a very tight unit room where I think they push each other and they hold each other accountable. And I think that's one of the biggest assets of – I mean, all these guys. I mean, I look at it as I'm very lucky because, I mean, you go with Zeke, Tony, Rico Dowd, Malik Davis, and then we even got Quadre Olsen now, who's a bigger body back that you haven't had chance to see him run yet. But, I mean, he's a big, fast guy that has a little bit more girth to him. But, I mean, all these guys, I think, have some natural run skills to them, and they all have the ability to run routes and catch the ball in the backfield, and they all can protect. I mean, I've had guys that were route runners, good runners inside as a runner, but struggle to pass protection. Then I had guys that could pass protect, could run routes, but really had very limited run skills. Where, I mean, I've been fortunate this year to have, I mean, an entire room that has all those characteristics that, I mean, like I told Kellen and Mike, I said, so just don't be surprised when I just throw them in it, because I have total confidence that no matter what the situation is, it isn't too big for them, and they'll come in there and they'll do what they need to do.
I love Skip Pete. One of the great things about Skip Pete, he's a cigar smoker like me, so we can talk about cigars, and I can ask him questions about his favorite cigar and those kinds of things. And Michael, I was there when he did the interview with me and a couple of the reporters, and Michael listened to the interview. Michael, what were your thoughts about Skip and how they want to use Tony Pollard and Zeke?
You saw my expression. I was surprised to hear Skip describe that after Pollard had that long 54-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter, he said, that's it, I'm done for the game. Because it was only – how many carries did he have at that point? What was his,
that was his 12th? Final carry today, 14.
14 carries. And so I was surprised that Pollard would kind of – and I don't know. I need to ask Tony about it, but that he would say, like, all right, I'm done for the game. I mean, there was a lot of game left there. I just did that he would like say that he was done, and maybe I'm making too much of it, but I'm surprised that that happened. And you look at the player participation level, and yeah, Tony Pollard didn't play again. And it was only a handful of snaps, but Malik Davis took them all. That was it for Tony Pollard for the game. I'm just surprised to hear that caught my ear, as well as him saying that about 30 plays is considered the max for Pollard. And that's just me. I'm just a little bewildered. I guess I don't even know what I'm. Tony Pollard loves the chance to touch the football. Mm-hmm. Great opportunity, especially as a impending unrestricted free agent, to go out there and be the guy, be the bell cow, show that you can do it. And that he would say in the fourth quarter, "All right, that's it for me after his 14th carry." I was just hearing that from the. I'm just surprised. I just didn't see that coming.
Well, it was a 54-yard touchdown run, I believe.
100%. Yeah.
So the man's a little bit tired, and it was about 10 and a half minutes left to go in the game or whatever it was, and so I don't know if they still give you oxygen on the sidelines. I'm half paying attention, but he was tired, and yes, I wonder if the game had been closer if Pollard returns.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it was surprising that he did say 30s is max.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I was just surprised.
Coming up next, we'll take some questions from you, our listeners.
Hey, listeners. This is Damon Marks. I'm the Cowboys editor for the Dallas Morning News. That includes the Sports Day Cowboys podcast that you're listening to right now. What I love about this beat is the nonstop news cycle that is the Dallas Cowboys. But beyond that daily adrenaline rush, being able to reveal the human side of the players you watch on TV is a privilege. Calvin and Michael talk to these players each week to bring you the behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anywhere else. If you want to support this good work, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Dallas Morning News and become a member. You'll find a special offer just for listeners at dallasnews.com/listen.
Calvin, the bye week is a time for reflection. It's time for self-scout. And when I think about our Sports Day Cowboys podcast, if I could improve one area, make one adjustment, I want to hear more from our listeners. I want to hear more from our Dallas Morning News subscribers. I want the voice of the fan to be in the show. And so today we begin. We were going to take reader questions and we're going to answer. And I want this to be a more regular segment that we do.
Michael, I definitely agree. We have three good questions. And the first question is from my main man. Well, he's not really my main man. He's just somebody I just met. It's my man, Bob Makahalalaha. Hi, Bob. Now, Bob's question is, why does it seem that our home games have a lot more fans from the competition than us? Well, Bob, I'm going to tell you this. Jerry Jones reminds me of this former athletic director at SMU, Jim Copeland. SMU was playing UTEP. SMU played in this little arena called Moody Coliseum. And all these people from El Paso came up to watch the game. There were more people from UTEP than in SMU. So I grabbed Jim Copeland, who's the AD, God rest his soul now, and I said, Coach, I called him Coach, he was the AD. I said, Jim, Coach, why you got all these people from the opposing team here? And Jim Copeland said, did they pay? I said, yeah, I assume so. I think they paid. He said, well, I don't care. And that's Jerry Jones. He doesn't care. Look, you can't say to the paying public, we only want Cowboy fans in the stands if you're trying to make money. And Jerry Jones has always been about making money. If you go to a road game, okay, Cowboys have 8 or now 9 sometimes. There are a lot of Cowboy fans there as well. So it works both ways here.
And I would say, I mean, if I can add,
Mm-hmm. Please.
As someone who covered the Chargers, if you want to see what it looks like when a lot of visitor fans take over a stadium, come to Los Angeles. Watch the game in Los Angeles. Watch the Rams. Watch the Chargers. And you know what? Watch anytime the Cowboys are on the road. Maybe it's a little different against Philadelphia because people think they're going to get punched, and they're probably right if they go to Eagles games dressed in Cowboys gear. But overall, when the Cowboys are on the road, Cowboys fans show up. And so I think some of it is just a reality of the NFL where you're going to, more often than not, have some visiting fans in your building. Next question, hopefully from someone whose last name is a little bit easier to pronounce, although thank you, Bob, for writing in. Hiram Reyes, I think I got that correctly. Mm-hmm. He asks, I want to hear about the rookie progression. Were they worth the draft? And golly, I look at this Cowboys rookie class, and I would say it's one of the high points of this team, and it's 6-2 start. You could go almost right down the list, but I think Tyler Smith, what he was able to do by making that move post Tyron Smith hamstring tendon rupture, by sliding out from left guard to left tackle, despite not having worked at all in training camp or the preseason at tackle. And he started every game. I don't think he's missed a snap as a Cowboys left tackle in 8 games. And so that's a big part of it. Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot, an undrafted guy. I think Damone Clark really impressed us this past week. Someone who the Cowboys drafted in the 5th round. If not for him having March spinal fusion surgery, he would have been drafted long before the 5th. And despite missing the spring and camp and preseason and the first 7 games, he plays 57 snaps, 17 on special teams, 40 on defense. All of those on defense came after linebacker Anthony Barr suffered a left hamstring injury in the 2nd quarter. So it wasn't like this was plan A. But what a response from Damone Clark. And so you could really go down the list. I'm leaving a whole bunch of guys out, Calvin. And I don't know if any jump out to you. I didn't touch upon Sam Williams, who had a nice game a couple weeks ago. He's still very much learning. He's nowhere near where he's going to be, but which is a good reason why you don't evaluate a rookie class this soon. But if you're going to have an evaluation at this point, it's a positive one. Looks like the Cowboys hit it out of the park again.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, who would have thought that Tyler Smith, who was drafted to play guard, would be your starting left tackle now? So he has been outstanding. Sam Williams, I think, has played pretty well and should get a lot of praise. Deron Bland, you know, he came in. You know, he's the starting slot corner now with Jordan Lewis out for the season with that foot injury. If there is one rookie that I think the Cowboys wish they could have, and that's the 5th round pick, John Ridgeway, who got taken by the Washington Commanders. And Mike McCarthy has talked about he really wished he had Ridgeway, because when you talk about that log jam that they have in the interior of the defensive line, they really wanted Ridgeway to kind of push some of these veterans. But Damone Clark, I remember when they drafted him, and you think about spinal fusion surgery, I'm thinking, my gosh, this kid will never play again. And Stephen Jones said, don't count him out. He might play. And here he is playing 40 snaps against the Chicago Bears. So this rookie class, I think, has been very good, very impressive what they did in the draft, Michael.
No doubt.
Now, we got one final question. Let me see if I can pronounce this guy's name right. I think I can. Buddy Ramirez.
Easy enough.
Give me the easy stuff and I'll ace it. Buddy says, or asks, I haven't heard any news in a while about Jabril Cox. We need all the youth and defensive strength we can get. Yes, you do, buddy. The deal is Jabril Cox is a little behind because he tore his ACL last year. And when a guy gets hurt with the Cowboys, they're very cautious with them. And it's okay. And you know what? Leighton Vander Esch is playing pretty damn good. Micah Parsons is playing very damn good. So he's a little behind those two. They signed Anthony Barr in free agency just before camp. Well, I think in the early part of camp. And so Anthony Barr is ahead of him. So Cox has got to get his time on special teams. I had high hopes for him before he got injured last year. Remember when they cut my favorite player, Michael, what's his name? Jalen Smith. I thought Jabril Cox was going to come in there and really get some time. Then he got hurt, you know. So it's going to be a while for Jabril Cox. I would say with Vanderish being a free agent at the end of this season, if they don't bring him back, hey, Jabril Cox, here's your opportunity to step up and play.
On that subject, two things come to mind. One, it's important that we all remember that Jabril Cox, a 2021 pick, he didn't have the opportunity to make that second-year jump that Mike McCarthy and other coaches around the league talk about because of the ACL that he suffered against the Vikings on Halloween night. That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is to be somewhat of a counter-argument to what I just said, but both are true. Damone Clark, a rookie who's missed everything in terms of on-field instruction until the Cowboys activated his practice window in October, that guy is active for his first NFL game over Jabril Cox and saw defensive snaps that Jabril has not seen to this stage of his career before the ACL. That, I think, speaks loud about what the Cowboys think of Damone Clark and, at this stage, where they think Jabril Cox is today, which, again, he's a young player. You give these guys a long-term chance for growth and development within your system. But that today speaks volumes about where they think Jabril is.
And real quick, before we bounce out of here, what does this say, Michael, about the front office, where they're not afraid to challenge these guys? You know, Jabril Cox is a guy they were high on, and they go, oh, man, here's Damone Clark. He fell to us because I'm thinking he's a first-round pick. That's how good of a player he is. And they said, we're going to draft this kid. You know, the front office should get some credit, too, for how they conducted themselves in the spring during the draft.
And, you know, that's the one area, and we could be critical about them not finding a way to get something done at the trade deadline, as you were earlier. But at the same breath, we have to say, here at the bye week, you cannot help but be impressed. I think it kind of ties up all of this together with a lot of the moves that the Cowboys front office has made. It's been a big part as to the depth of this team, and it's a big part of why they are 6-2 at this break. Let's break ourselves, Calvin. We deserve a bye.
We sure do. That's all the time we got for Sports Day Cowboys this week. Thanks so much for listening.
The show is produced by Damon Marks. You can stay up to date on every episode by following Sports Day Cowboys wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find the show by following the Dallas Morning News in those same players.
You know what? You can also find links to everything we do at dallasnews.com/listen, and you'll also find a special membership offer there just for listeners. And guess what? We want to hear more from you, so email us your questions, comments, voice memos. Please do that. We love to hear that. Send all that to dmncowboys@dallasnews.com. And you can also ping us directly on Twitter at @dmn_cowboys. And hey, on Facebook at Cowboys Fan Central. For the news, I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We'll see you next week.